First, I just wanted to correct, for some reason I was totally off with names, so I just want to get the names correct. We were discussing the issue that there is a halacha l'maisha mi-Sinai called Tesepes Shavias, that you're mechayev to be maisef Michael ala kaidesh, and this means that the doraisa of Tesepes Shavias is 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And that means min ha-tayra, you were not allowed to plow 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal were mocked in the Yisr Charisha, this is the first mission in Shavuos, to two zamanim before that, and that is for a soda ilan, for a fruit tree, a fruit orchard, the Yisr of Charisha is maschil Shavuos. And for a grain field, it is maschil from Pesach. And the Svara is that any plowing for grain after Pesach and any plowing for fruit after Shavuos is not helping the produce of that year. It's only a hachana for next year. So Chazal, we're nichlal that in the Yisr. So again, the Araisa, the Yisr is only a month before, and the Rabbanan were makdim for Sedei Ilan, Shavuos, and Sedei Lavan, grain, called Lavan, white, from Pesach. Now, remember that this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is an unusual halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai only calls man shahamikdash kayim, meaning the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is as long as you have a beis hamikdash, there is such a halacha of tesefes shavias, and shlof is man hamikdash, there is no halacha of tesefes shavias, and since the drabanan dikah periods are tafel to the Doraisa Dika period. So the way it worked was that, because even though you could argue, okay, but let it be Drabbanan, the answer is no, it's not even Drabbanan. Once the Iker Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai became this Nisbatel, we don't have the rabbinic periods either. So bottom line, therefore, is that the whole first two prakim of Masechet, well, no, that's for the first prakim of Masechet Shavuos is not Nogei L'Maisa at all. You can plow even Erev Rosh Hashanah, although presumably, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you have better things to do anyway. You shouldn't spend Elul Zman plowing a field. But according to Halacha, field of Torah, of course, but according to Halacha, Bizman Hazeh, there's no Isser of Charisha Bichlam. Okay? All right. So this is where we're at. Now, so the question becomes like this. The question becomes, is there anything Bizman Hazeh that I'm not allowed to do before Shemitah? Right? We know Shemitah has a lot of Yisurim. Is there Tosefes Shemitah Bizman Hazeh? There is not. So is there any problem? So the Mishnah says in Shavuos that there is an Isser to plant within 30 days before Shemitah. And the question is, what is the site of that Isser? Okay, so I went through the sheets, but I want to give you the Rishayim in their proper, you know, who says what. Rashi learns the following way. Rashi learns two chidushim, two chumras. Rashi says that the Mishnah, in fact, is talking about Bizman HaMikdash, when there was a din of Tesefes Shavuos. And the Mishnah maintains that not only are you not allowed to plant during Tesefes Shavuos, but you're not allowed to plant even before Tosefes Shavuos in an eifin that will cause kalita during Tosefes Shavuos. So this is the strictest of all of the Rishayim. Because what do I mean by kalita? The Gemara says that when you plant a seed, or even a sapling, it takes a certain amount of time for the roots to attach themselves to the ground and start being yonik. That's called kalita. And there's a machlokas, is kalita 30 days, or is kalita 3 days, or is kalita 2 weeks? And there are different shitas on this. La halacha we paskin, kalita is 2 weeks. So according to Rashi, bizman of Tesefes Shavuos, bizman hamikdash, you could not plant within 44 days before Shemitah. Why? Because if you plant within 44 days before Shemitah, then there's going to be a kalita within 30 days before Shemitah. And the problem is that that is treated as a forbidden netia, even though you did it, even though you did your maisa before Tisefes Shemitah. Now, 44 days before Shemitah happens to be 15th of Av. The 16th of Av, meaning to say the last day you're allowed to plant, according to this, when there's Tisefes Shemitah, is 15th of Av. Now, you see two chidushim from Rashi, two chumras. Chidush number one, which is not mefurish in the Gemara otherwise, that the iser of Tosefes Shavias is not only charisha, it also encompasses planting. In other words, it doesn't say beferish in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to plant in the Tosefes Shavias, but Rashi's shita is to shame that you're not allowed to be choresh, you're not allowed to plant. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is that the prohibition of planting is not only the actual maisa of planting, but the kalita itself is considered to be your maisa of planting, even though you did it before. You see, these are two separate halachas of Rashi. Because if you took the position, of course, they're Hava Atalia, if you took the position you're allowed to plant in Tosefes Shavuos, then Kal Vachomer, you're allowed to be Garam Aklita. But the second thing, but in other words, so if you hold it's Mutter to plant, it's certainly Mutter to be Garam Aklita. On the other hand, it's possible to hold it's Usher to plant, but being Garam Aklita is not a problem. The analogy is in Hilchos Shabbos, it's certainly not right. By Zareya Gufa, in Hilchos Shabbos Gufa, this very malacha, that's not the case. If I plant a seed 2 minutes before Shabbos, or actually it wouldn't be 2 minutes anymore, let's say I plant a seed 13 days before Shabbos. So the Kalita, or 14 days before Shabbos.
No, it's Shabbos again.
Huh? Okay, yeah, that's right, but I understand, but maybe the first Shabbos, it wasn't Niklat yet, but we're talking about, in other words, the Shabbos that occurs 14 days after my planting is going to be the Shabbos that I was Gairam Aklit of a Shabbos. V'shtetach, you're not Chaya for Zareya. If that's going to be the case, you're right. Every single, well, not every single day, depending on when you plant it exactly, but you know, you're certainly not Chaya. You're never Chaya to Arisa, for sure. On anything you do before Shabbos that causes a malacha to happen on Shabbos. Bishul is another example. If I put something ala esh 1 second before Shabbos and it is 100% cooked on Shabbos, it was totally raw, not bachal ben drusha, it was totally raw, and it was cooked on Shabbos, min atayra, there's no malacha of bishul. The Chachamim just said that in order that, since we're afraid, you might stir the gechalim on Shabbos because you want to cook the food, so you have to have Gerufa Ketumah, the fire has to be covered. But these are drabanans, it's a double pashas, that if I put it on the fire before Shabbos, the fact that it got cooked on Shabbos is not a malach. So it's a tremendous chiddush, actually, to say that nichlal in the Isser Netiyah is not only the maisa of Netiyah, but to be gairam a klita by what you did before the period of Tosefes Shavuos. Again, the Mishchas Chinuch wants to say, maybe that's so, because maybe according to Rashi, it's not that you're over the love. There's a love of planting, such chalei sizra. Or in the case of a tree, how do we know you're not allowed to plant the tree? You don't know it from sudden, you actually know it from a kal v'chaymer of zemira. Since you're not allowed to be zomer a tree, because that causes it to grow better, then certainly you're not allowed to plant. So the Mishchas Chinuch wants to say, it could be, this is very mistavra, that kalita during this period is not nesar because of the iser of zeria, but it's a bitul asay of shaf sahaaretz. There's a mitzvah asay that the land should rest. So if the land is taking root, if the plant is taking roots, so the land is not resting because the land is contributing to it. So which means it's only a bitul asay. It's a good svara. If I plant during Shemitah, or even Tosefes Shemitah, I might run a lot. But if it's niklat during Tosefes Shemitah, it's only a bitul asay. But be it as it may, these are the two chumras of Rashi, that in Tosefes Shavuos, there's an issur to plant, number one. That's, that itself is a chiddush. Even if I planted beferish, that would be a chiddush. And chiddush number two is, it's usher to be gairing a klita. Okay. Now, if you take Rashi, and let's apply Rashi today. So according to Rashi, Rashi's two rules, what would be the Isser today? Today we don't have Tosefes Shavias. We only have Shavias. So as a result, the first halacha of Rashi is now irrelevant. The fact that there's an Isser Natiya in Tosefes Shavias is no longer Nogea Lamaisa, because after the Chorban, there's a Bitul of Tosefes Shavias. Apparently, we're not chayshish for that. You know, it's a good hara. But I think the concept would be that as long as when you planted it was beheter, so you're not, you know, for that klita you don't have to be chayshish for. But the second halacha of Rashi is still very relevant. In other words, Rashi's getter is whenever you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to be gorei meklita. So according to Rashi, that would mean bisman hazeh, there would be an Isser to plant 2 weeks before Shemitah. Exactly right. It wouldn't be 44 days anymore, but there would still be an Isser to plant 2 weeks before Shemitah, because you're goreim a klita during Shemitah. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. So that which the Mishnah says, there's a 30-day problem, that's only mikayach tesefes Shavias. Now, Rabbeinu Tam comes out the same as Rashi, but is a bit more makel. Rabbeinu Tam actually says that even Bizman HaMikdash, you only have a 14-day window, because Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi's first yesod, that there's an Isser Netiyah, or Zeriah, in Tosefes Shavias. Rabbeinu Tam learns that the Isser of Zeriah, or Netiyah, is only in Shavias Gufa, and the only activity that is usher in Tosefes Shavias is Charisha. So what's Nafkinut in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? The Nafkinut would only be, so Bizman HaZeh, they're both the same. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam is Maida to the second Yisayit, you cannot cause a Klita during Shavias. So both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are going to be in agreement that Bizman HaZeh, you're not allowed to plant 14 days before Shavias. The Nafka Mina is simply, what would the din be Bizman HaMikdash? According to Rashi, you'd have to be Marchik 44 days. According to Rabbeinu Tam, 14 days. Right? In other words, the only Nafka Mina, so it's not a practical, Bizman HaZeh, it's not a practical Nafka Mina. Rabbeinu Tam, in other words, accepts Rashi's second Hanukha, that you're not allowed to be Gaira Meklita, but he rejects the first Tanakha, that there's an Isser of Zeriah in Tosefes Shavias. Even Bizman HaMikdash, if I want to plant, let's say, 20 days before Shemitah, even though I'm within the Tosefes, that's Vadai Mutter, because as long as I'm not Gaira Meklita on Shavias Kufa, there is no Isser of Zeriah, even Biadayim, during Tosefes Shemitah. Okay. Now, So the bottom line is that they would say, Bizman HaZeh, I'm not allowed to plant anything 14 days or less before Shemitah, because I'm Goyrim a Klita, and like the Mishnah Chinuch says, that would not be a lav of Zareya, but that would be a Bitul Aseh of a Shavsa Ha'aretz, that the land has to rest. So, again, I apologize, I think I got the names all wrong last week for some reason. So we have Rashi Shita, Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Now the third shita is the shitas haRambam, which is also the shitas of the Ramban. So the Ramban and the Rambam are both in agreement here, and this is really a very mechudish tikka shita. And that is, there is no iser. In other words, this is on one hand it's makel in two respects. There is no iser of zeriah in Tosefes Shavias. So if you want to plant something in Tosefes Shavias, it's mutter, and kal v'chaymer, there's not even an isser of klita during Shavias. So according to the Rambam, you are allowed to plant grain, you are allowed to plant vegetables, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And this is true Bisman HaMikdash, notwithstanding Tosefos Shviz. And it's true Shelo Bisman HaMikdash, notwithstanding Kalita Sazera, within 14 days. In other words, the Ramban and the Ramban reject both Hanachas of Rashi. There is no Isser of Zeriah in Tosefos Shviz, even when it existed. And there is no such concept as being Goreng a Kalita Sazera even during Shemitah. But there's a special takana that only applies to fruit trees. And the takana of fruit trees is the following. A fruit tree, not a pine tree, it has to be a tree that yields edible fruit, has a din of orla. And right, the fruit that blossoms, nechnat, within 3 years of the planting of the tree, is orla. It's usher to eat that fruit. The Mishnah in Temura indicates that orla is supposed to be burnt. Orla is called min ha-nisrafin. And yet it is not our minhag to burn orla. They don't burn orla. They just throw it away or whatever it is. I know the stipler, didn't really have a whole either. Somebody asked the stipler, like, why our minhag was not as that? It's not to be soyref orla. I think he suggests because the Shem Shailah Orla is a Doraisa Bismanazah and the Chiyav of Sreif is only an Orla Doraisa. But whatever it is, Orla is certainly Usher, but not only the Achila, Orla is Usher Bana. You can't even be Michael Orla to a Behema. Ah, so how do you count the Shneis Orla? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, you have to have Shleishim Yayim Bashana Chashav Shana. That if I plant a tree less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that doesn't count as a year, and the year starts from Rosh Hashanah. And you need 3 Rosh Hashanahs, and then the last year you have to wait until Tu Bishvat. Okay, that's a separate thing at the end. But if you have Shleishim Yayim Bashanah, that counts as year 1. So Zuk de Rambam, you have to have Shleishim Yayim after the Klita of the Ilan. Because the Ilan is not considered planted until it is Mushrish Bakarka, and that takes 2 weeks. Mimela, the time is like this. If you plant a fruit tree less than 44 days before Shemitah, then 3 years later, when people calculate the Orla, they're going to look at the Shemitah year as year 1. So what are they going to think? They're not necessarily going to be so Meslam Donim that you planted it before. If Shemitah is the first year of Orla, many people are going to assume it was planted in Shemitah. It's a Marasayim. So in order that people shouldn't be Choshesh, that this was a tree that was planted during Shemitah, you're Mechuyev to plant it early enough so that the year before Shemitah counts as year 1 in the Orla cycle. And Shemitah would be year 2. And hence, the Rambam says, you need 44 days. You must plant the tree no later than the 15th of Av. Now, no, because if I plant a tree after Tu B'Av, so it'll take 14 days for Hashrasha, and then there'll be less than 30 days till Rosh Hashanah. So the first year of Orla will be Shemitah year, so people will think you planted during Shemitah. Yeah? It's okay to do. It's only a Gezeiah. Yeah, the problem is not Hashrasha. In other words, the problem is not Hashrasha. The problem is a Maris Ayin that people will think you were Noteya Biadayim in Elan during Shemitah. Ah, so it turns out like this. The Shitas HaRambam has a Chumrah and has a Kula over Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Chumrah of the Rambam is that even Bizman Hazeh, no fruit tree or seed, for that matter, the seed of a fruit tree, cannot be planted, right? No tree can be planted within 44 days before Shemitah, even Bizman Hazeh. And that is not true, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, where at most the Yisra would be 2 weeks. The Rambam makes it 44 days. That's the Chumra of the Rambam. The Kula of the Rambam is that since this is only a unique problem for fruit trees, and the Rambam rejects the Hanacha of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that there's an Isra to be Gorem Klita during Shemitah, the Shita of Rambam is that for vegetables and grain, and even trees that don't produce fruit, you could mamish be Zireya Vinaiteya, even Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so you see, the Rambam has a very sharp differentiation here. The fruit trees have to be planted more than 44 days, and the vegetables and the grain can be planted Erev Rosh Hashanah. And it could be, this I don't know if I have a clear marker for, that the Rambam would maintain this heter even when there was Tosefes Shviyos, if he holds like Rabbeinu Tam. That I don't know. In other words, what does the Rambam maintain by Tosefes Shviyos Isra Zriya? If there's no Isra Zriya, then you would actually have that heter even Bizman HaMikdash. Maybe we don't have a riot of that. But certainly, Shelo Bizman HaMikdash, the Rambam holds, vegetables and grains and non-fruit-bearing trees, there is mamish no iser at all to be naiteya. And of course, according to the Rambam, that works out because essentially you're making it similar to Melechus Shabbos, meaning as long as my pu'ula was before, we don't care if it was klita. Orla has a separate cheshman because there's a marasayan that people are going to think that the tree was planted during Shemitah. Okay, so those are the three sheetahs. Again, I got the names wrong last time, so you have Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam, which is also the Shitas Ramban. La Halacha, we actually follow the Rambam Shita. La Halacha, we do not follow Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. And although we don't have a Hachra about Tosefes Shviyos, are you allowed to be Zareh, that we don't have a Pesach Halacha. But Bizman HaZeh, when there's no Tosefes Shviyos, we actually paskin grain, vegetables, flowers also in Ogea, and non-fruit-bearing trees, you are allowed to plant even Erev Rosh Hashanah before Shemitah. It is only a fruit-bearing tree of Shnais Orla that there would be a problem. Now, even then, this is more complicated than you might think, because you see that according to the Rambam, the problem is only if Shemitah will be the first year of Orla. And what's our problem? That if I plant within 44 days, so Shemitah will be year one of Orla, so when people count the Orla years, they're going to say, oh, this must have been planted during Shemitah. But in many cases, a tree that you plant already has, in other words, like this. Typically, when you buy a sapling from a nursery, I mean, nobody, if I want to plant an apple tree, nobody plants, you know, Johnny Appleseed. Nobody, like, plants apple seeds today. You know, I'm not going to plant, like, Choni Amago and plant an apple seed so, you know, 5 years later I'll have a tree. People buy trees. Like, you go to a nursery, you buy a tree. Now, when you buy a tree, you typically buy a tree that has, that's been growing in the ground, and you, and it's taken with a lot of dirt on it. So the Mishnah in Maseches Orla says that when you move a sapling from one location to another location, you do not have to start the Orla count again as long as it had enough soil that would be capable of living until it gets replanted. So it turns out like this. Even if I plant a tree, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you know, if it was already, you know, as I got it with the dirt on it, and it had already been there a year or whatever it would be, Shemitah would not be the first year of Orla. But this is tricky because it really depends. If it was in the ground and it was uprooted with dirt, 100% correct, there'd be no Isra in replanting it. But most of the time it's in a big flower pot. And this depends on whether it's an Otzitz Nakuf, or an Otzitz She'en or Nakuf. Again, maybe, well, it's in the first prakakitin, but also many Mishnayos. Right, Otzitz is a flower pot. And some of these flower pots are made of ceramic, made of cheres, made of wood, different material. Now, Chazal or Mechalek, between an Otzitz that has a hole in the bottom, in which there is direct contact with the soil, and an utzitz that does not have a hole in the bottom. Now, this is nogea many, many halachas. It's nogea trumas and maishras. Grain or fruits or vegetables that grow in an utzitz she'eino nakuv, even if the dirt is Eretz Israel dirt, even if it's Israeli soil, but if it's not mechuber to the actual ground, is only chayev in trumas and maishras midrabanan. On the other hand, if it's growing from an utzitz nakuv, that's called mechuber to the karka, and your mechuyev in trumas and maishras diaraisa, even if the dirt in the flower pot is chutzlarz dirt, if it's mechuber to Eretz Israel soil. Another nafkamina is, the Gemara says, if you move an utzitz nakuv from one place to another place, that is called kaitzer, because it's considered growing from the ground. If it's an utzitz she'eino nakuv that I move, it's not considered mechuber l'karka. So there are many chilukim between an utzitz nakuv and an utzitz she'eino nakuv. Now, one of the chilukim is nogeya shneis orla. That is, if I have a tree that is growing in an utzit she'eino nakuv, in a flower pot, and I take out the tree and I replant it, since the tree was, even though there's soil on the roots, since the tree was not yet planted in the ground, the shneisa orla is maschil from when I put it in the ground, so then you would have a problem of the 44 days. So if you buy a tree from a nursery that had been growing in a big flower pot, which is actually the more common scenario, then indeed you would have the problem of the 44 days. If, on the other hand, you were buying a tree that had actually been growing from ground that is being uprooted, then you wouldn't have to worry about the 44 days, as long as, now there's still a condition, that there has to be enough dirt on the roots that it could be kept alive until it's replanted. Otherwise, it's a new planting, right? So the point I'm making is that this chashash of the Rambam, that when you plant within 44 days before Shemitah, there's going to be a problem of Shneis Orla, is not going to necessarily be the case when you're mavir either from an utzitz nakuv, or directly from the ground. It would only be a problem if it's an utzitz she'eino nakuv. Now, to make it more complicated, there is a machlekes Rashi in Taisus that, according to Rashi Shita in Gittin, an utzitz of cheres, because cheres is so absorbent, even if there's no nekev in it, even an utzitz of cheres that's not nakev is considered to be nakev. Taisus reverses it. Taisus eitz is called nakev. In other words, it's machlekes what is called nakev, what is called not nakev. And then the other problem is that even if something is nakev or porous, but if it's not directly on the ground, let's say it's on the floor of a greenhouse, or it's on top of plastic, there's no milo of nakuv in that case. Now, the milo of nakuv is only when it's resting on the ground. So you'd have to be derish v'chaker, meaning you'd have to know exactly. That's which is why it's better to be machmir and just not plant a fruit tree within 44 days. But if you want to be ma'ayin in weather, there would be, and of course it's also nogea orla. In fact, by the way, it's not only nogea the shayla of Shemitah, it's nogea the shayla of orla, mamish. In other words, when will orla be mutter? When will these fruits be mutter? Even if it's not during the Shemitah year, right? You have to be ma'ayin. How do you count the shneis orla when you buy saplings from nurseries? Is it an utzitz nakuv? Is it not nakuv? If it is nakuv, was it on the ground or was it over plastic? Was it cheres? Was it eitz? Right? Even if it was not nakuv, you have to be ma'ayin, because the calculation of shneis orla is not going to be so pashut in a lot of these cases. All I'm saying is, to the degree that you don't have to restart the counting of orla, you would have a heter to be naiteya within the 44 days. In other words, the Rambam's din of Shemitah, right, so you have to know two areas of halacha here. Even if you're, in order to apply this halacha of Shemitah, you have to be a baki in the halacha of orla and how you apply it. So this is the chumrah of the Rambam and the kula of the Rambam. The chumrah of the Rambam is that even bisman hazeh, you got this 44-day limit. The kula of the Rambam is that there is no problem with vegetables, grain, flowers, which don't have it in orla, and non-fruit-bearing trees. Right? That's the damri mutter, even until Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam rejects the idea that you're not allowed to cause a klitas hazriya during Shemitah. The Rambam says that's not emes. The Torah asers the mais hazriya. The Torah does not aser being goyim a klita. And the Rambam essentially is making the laws of Shemitah consistent with the laws of Shabbos. Okay, the same Shabbos is the same principle. There's no issue on Shabbos of being gairim something, to have, doing something b'chol, that's gairim malacha to be done on Shabbos. Okay, so that was that.
Does the klitas man change if you move with the dirt with the plant?
Yes, actually the Chazon Ish has that aura. The Chazon Ish wants to say this. This is a little tricky, but you were mechavin to something. The Chazon Ish says like this. When you're mavir from an atzid she'enai nakuf, you do have to restart the orlekans because it wasn't planted in the ground. But you don't have to start the klita kant because even in atzid she'enai nakuf, it took root. So the Chazon Ish tainus, that's where I get your mechavin, the Chazon Ish tainus that when you're mavir from an atzid she'enai nakuf to the karka, you only have to be machmer not to plant it within 30 days of Shemitah. You don't have to be machmer 44 days. Because the extra 14 days is because of klita. Here you have a klita already. And therefore, the only thing you have to be sure of is you have 30 days in the pre-Shemitah year to count for it. So that's a dakistik, a chilik. In an otzis, nakov, you could plant until the Erev of Rosh Hashanah. Atzid she'eino nakuf, you got 30 days, and if it was not in with the dirt, then you got to do 44 days, right? So that's the chiluk.
Does the Ramban agree to the Rambam about this era of fruit trees?
Yeah, the Ramban learns like the Rambam. Both of us. Yeah. That's how he learns. That's how he learns the Mishnah in Shavuos. And the Diyuk is a very good Diyuk, because if you look at the Mishnah in Shavuos, which talks about not planting before Shemitah, it only says ein notin. Now, why does it say ein notin? It should say ein zorin. Like Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, it's not only Natiya, it's also Zaria. Yeah? So, because of this, the Ramban is Medayik, that you see that the prohibition is specifically connected with planting of trees, and it does not apply to grain or vegetables. Because otherwise the Mishnah should have talked about not being Zaireya. Because after all, that's the Lashon HaTorah, right? The Lashon HaTorah is Zaria. Natiya is not Feresh in the Torah. Remember, Natiya, how do we know Natiya is Aser? We only know it from a Kal V'chaimer from Zemira. In fact, you could ask Itasha on this. How could you get Malchus for that? Remember, just to remind you, we discussed, how do I know you're not allowed to plow during Shemitah? So I had said that according to Rabbi Akiva, that when the Torah says you're not allowed to plow even Tosefta Shavuos, so we make a Kal V'chaimer to Shavuos. I ain't Shin Min Adin, that's not a Kasha because it's only an Aseh, Tishbash, you don't get Malchus anyway. But Natiya is a problem. Natiya could ask you this problem. That is, if I plant a tree, where does the Torah say you're not allowed to plant a tree? Now, you might say, well, the Torah says you're not allowed to be Zareya, and in Hilchos Shabbos, Zareya includes Natiya. That's not going to work for Shemitah. And the reason is, Noteya is a tolda of Zareya. Zareya is a seed. Noteya is an existing plant. It is only a tolda. Now, remember by Shemitah, the concept basically is, only the avais are usher, not the toldos. In other words, there are plenty of things that are considered to be zareya for Hilchos Shabbos that min haTorah are mutter. One example is pulling weeds, menachesh. Another example is watering. Now these are forbidden midrabanan, but the araisa, even though they're toldos of zareya, they're mutter on Shavuos araisa. So you can't give me a teretz that the reason I can't be naiteya is because Noteya is a tilde of Zareya. The Zelo must pick. So how do I know you're not allowed to plant on Shavuos? So the answer is, it is a Kal V'chaimer from Zemira, because the one thing the Torah said you cannot do is, you cannot prune, cut off branches. Now, the issue of cutting off branches is because it causes a tree to grow better. So it's a kal v'chomer. The Torah asers zemira, kal v'chomer, the Torah asers netiyah. So it's important here. You don't know netiyah from the issur zariyah. You know netiyah from the issur zemira. But here, my kasha is going to be a good kasha. And that is, okay, if I'm Zareya, I get Malkus. If I am Zomer, I get Malkus. If I am Noteya, do I get Malkus? Now here you have a problem, because it is a love, but if the only way you know you're not allowed to be Noteya is a Kal V'Chomer from Zemira, here you do run into the problem of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. You cannot impose punishment via Kal V'Chomer. You see, that wasn't a problem with Charisha, because Charisha was only a mitzvah saseh of Tishbeis, for which there's no malchus anyway. But it is going to be a problem with Neteya. So we have to be Mayan in this. Is there a malchus if a person is Noteya on Shemitah? Okay, that'd be a shtickle sarachia, because the whole makar of Neteya is only a kal v'chomer from Zemira. Okay, we'll look into it somewhere. Okay, so Beaker, I just wanted to correct my mistake, so hopefully at least you have a bit more clarity on this Indian. Okay.
We're wondering, even though practically it would probably be us because of Ava, could a person kill a goy to take his organs if he's going to die?
Yeah, it's a very, very, very interesting question. Again, people don't like to talk about it publicly, but... The Five Kohen said, based on the Mishnah Chinuch, that it's a double pressure that you could, because the Svara of Mai Chazit Domach Didach Sim Kitzvei doesn't apply. And the Mela, there is a very good swara that the Isra of killing a goy will be nitcha because of Bikuach Nefesh of Israel, even to kill him be a day. Even in a simple case, right? Somebody tells you, kill this goy or I'll kill you. The Mishchus Chinuch is Mitzadid, I'm allowed to kill the goy. Yeah. So as a result, the whole issue of being Makabel organs from a non-Jew wouldn't be a problem, because even if you look at removal of an organ as Ritzicha, depending on whether the person is dead or alive, right? That's the Shiloh. But from a guy, I could be Makabel, because I'm allowed to have a guy killed to save my life. This is, I heard B'Shem Refival Kohen, it's very, very, very chashuv and paisim. But again,
he's alive.
Huh?
This is a living, he's alive?
Yeah. He wrote the Badei HaShulchan. A different volume.
Oh.
Basar B'cholav, Nida. He's a very machmer posik. So the swarm are wonderful, but not necessarily the maskanas. The swarm are so good, they lay out all the shitas very, very clearly. But whatever, he's always machmer l'chumra. So. But these are great, great swarm. These are not. And I wish, when I learned for smicha, I wish I had those swarm around. Mm-hmm. But, really, really great swarm.
Oh, yeah. I heard this, the Rambam writes that if there's a group of people who the villain says, give us one of you, so he shouldn't give up even one of the crowd. Even if they're all going to die.
Right.
So we're here to... Pardon me?
Unless he specifies which person...
Yeah, let's say he doesn't specify.
If he doesn't... Case one is he doesn't specify. Okay. Yeah.
So we heard a parody on that. My friend was quoting, I think, from Mrs. Allen, that, well, it's not logical. So
because that guy's going to die anyway.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to die with the whole group. So he said an idea that we learn from Shvichas Damim to kill Urias.
Right.
And then we learn back from kill Urias to Shvichas Damim. Right. Which means even when, in the conclusion that even when the Svara of my husband doesn't apply.
Right.
And you would.
Yeah, this is from the Kesef Mishnah Gufa. In other words, the Kesef Mishnah asks Akasha, it's the reason why you're not allowed to deliver somebody to Nisa, is because who says, you know, my chazis, so the chayra, where the guy's going to die anyway, See, I have to admit, the Keshet Meshech has two kashas. Initially, he has the kasha, so if they're going to kill the whole city, then why shouldn't I be Meiser? Right? Because he's going to die anyway.
Amen.
So on that, though, he gives a different answer. On that, he gives an answer. I'll tell you that, no. Who says he's going to die? He has the right to say, pick somebody else. In other words, if they're not Miyachet, then anybody I give would placate the enemy. So each person Ketaina, you can't give me. See, so my chazas does apply there. My chazas applies to prohibit you from choosing whose life is less worthy. Now, where you do have your kasha is the next din of the Rambam. See, on this din of the Rambam, even though everybody's going to die, the score of my chazas still applies in our inability to make a choice. But the Rambam goes on and says, let's say they ask for a specific guy and they know this guy. The Rambam holds, even then, you cannot give this guy unless he did something for which he's chayav misa. And that's what Machlokes, right? So let's say you have an innocent guy and they're saying, I want Avram. And you can't give him somebody else. Right. They know, right? So here, L'chaira, you do have a problem because Avram is going to die no matter what because there's nobody else I can choose. So if I choose Avram, he'll die and everybody else will be saved. If I don't choose Avram, Avram will die with everybody else. So L'chaira, here, my chazus doesn't apply at all. So how could the Rambam say, I still can't deliver it?
Yeah, I mean,
it was the... So on that kasha, the Keset Mishnah says that Vais Dechais, the din that we can't be participants in Ritzicha, is even when the Svar of my chazus doesn't apply. Yeah, you have to be Medayik. There are two cases here. On the first case, the Keset Mishnah says my chazus actually still applies.
Because
you're making a choice, I don't have the right to make the choice, even if that means everybody dies. But that's the Gzeres HaKasav, I cannot choose. But where the guy makes the choice, so the Chayyim in such a case, he's going to die. And I want to point out that Rashi Bedavka doesn't paskin like the Rambam there. Rashi actually says, where the guy is going to get killed, no matter what you do, you're allowed to be my servant. This is very Nogei L'Maisa. This is the Shaila of the World Trade Center. This is the Shaila of my terrorists took over a plane. My mom is Nogei L'Maisa, right? And they're gonna hit the World Trade Center. But we can shoot down the plane. Now, to kill the Regev is no... Of course I can kill the Regev, that's not the question. But the problem is, I'm going to kill 200 people on the plane in order to save 5,000 people. Okay? Now, the time is like this. I can't kill 200 to save 5,000 because that's still my chazus.
Okay.
But since the 200 are going to die anyway when the plane crashes, so l'chaira, it's like they're miyuchad l'misa. So would I be allowed to kill the 200 in order to save the 5,000 if the 200 are going to die niman of shach? So according to the Rambam, it would be, I say, you could not. Because the 200 are like yichud. It's as if the guy said, because yichud means the guy, we're going to kill this guy no matter what.
Right.
So this is the same thing. This is a massive of yichud, because for sure they're going to die. You know, derech hatever, they're going to die. But according to the Rambam, you couldn't. But according to Rashi, yeah, it's really machlekes of Yochanan and Mishlekes, ultimately. It's machlekes of the Yerushalmi. That according to Rav Yechanan, as long as they're miyached, you could kill. According to Reish Lakish, he has to be Chayiv Misa. It's all kasha. Why does the Rambam paskin like Reish Lakish? Connected Rav Yochanan. Rashi seems to paskin like Rav Yochanan. So this is Nogei, a lot of Eifanim, in which you can kill a smaller group to save a larger group, where Miman of Shach, the smaller group, is going to die. Now, but this is very Dachistic, because this is only a case where you're not making a choice, meaning you're not choosing that somebody would die, whether otherwise wouldn't die. Let me give you an example where even Rashi would be mita. Let's take conjoined twins. You have Siamese twins. They used to be called, they don't call them Siamese twins anymore, but it's not politically correct. Conjoined twins, you say, yeah, conjoined twins. And they only have one heart.
Yep.
Now, if I do nothing, they're both going to die. But I can separate them and keep the heart with one, and either one could live. Either one could live. Let's assume they're both equal. They're both are equally. Right? So here's the thing. On one hand, if I do nothing, they're both going to die. But this is like the case where the goyim come to the city and say, "Give us somebody," because you're choosing who will live and who will die. My chazis says you can't make the choice. The chumano, that's the first din of the Rambam that even Rashi would be noted to.
Because we're choosing.
Right? You see, that's different. The machlokes Rashi in the Rambam is only where there's no choice, meaning to say you're not choosing who will die, because whoever you're choosing Lamisa is already going to die. Mm-hmm. But when there's a choice in which that person didn't have to be the one who died, you're not allowed to make that choice. Even if Pesach HaKol, everybody's going to die as a result. So you have to be mechalik. People get confused with this. These are two very different nekudas, between yichtu and mo yichtu.
But the conjoined twin is that one of them is almost certain to
die. Yeah, yeah. So then we say, right. So Lamaisa, this was a famous case. Rav Moshe did not write a tshuva on conjoined twins. It's very interesting, but he actually had a case. In the 1970s, there was a Kailo couple in Lakewood that had conjoined twins. And the birth was in Philadelphia, and the surgeon was a very famous guy, C. Everett Koop, who later became Surgeon General of the United States. Very famous person. Happened to be a very religious person, Christian as well. And he basically said, well, you know, we could save one baby. If we don't operate and separate, both are going to die. So they said that they cannot, they have to talk to a gadol to get a psak. And Rav Moshe was the gadol that was involved. And you know how we know about this? We know about this from the Philadelphia Inquirer. That's the newspaper in Philadelphia. they gave it, it's funny, that's, you know, obviously you can't be sanyachan at the moment. But they tried to give a description of the halachic arguments. And Rav Moshe basically, at least the bottom line was, Rav Moshe paskened that if one of the babies was going to die mimanufshach, because often that is the case, that one is so weak that they will not survive, even if, in other words, even if you gave him the heart, he wouldn't survive. So b'chiyai gavna, that's called yichdo b'misa. And now again, but even that is only following Rashi. Like the Rambam might hold even Yichdu Misa wouldn't be good unless he was Chayav Misa, right? The Yogur is not Chayav Misa, but at least we're Semich and Rashi in a lot of these inyanim, which creates kind of course, it was a sad ending. What happened basically was that both babies did die. In other words, it's a high-risk operation, so even if you give the heart to the baby who has the greater chance of survival, it happens that they don't survive. So both babies did die, but again, they wouldn't have done anything. Both babies would have died. So it didn't, you know, at least there was a chance to try to save a baby. But this creates a difficult anomaly, which on some level is counterintuitive. That is, if both babies are equally healthy, you can't do anything. That's right, because each one has an equal time, equal claim, so you can't make the choice. On the other hand, right? So it's a funny thing. If they're both equal, you're in big trouble.
They wouldn't survive left the same they were. If they're going to die left the way they are, they don't both have a din of being yichtu l'misa, that either way.
No, because think about the case of the goyim. The goyim say we are going to wipe out the whole city unless you choose who's going to die. So that's the same situation here. These two babies are going to die unless you choose who lives. So the Rambam says, I can't make that choice, and Rashi's mighty for that, right?
It's still not a good question, but there's a case, Chazmish said if there's one person that has the medicine and there's two patients, so this is like
This is extremely, again, extremely important chiluk, and sometimes it'll be hard to figure this out. That is, we're not allowed to choose who dies. Yeah. On the other hand, when we have chaylim b'faneinu, and we have a refuah, and we could only give it to one, or water, only give it to one, then there is a din, right? There's a whole Mishnah in Arius. Who do you give it to? You give it to Talmud Chacham or a Kohen, or whatever the Kedimas are. So L'chaira, you choose who to save, even if that means the other person dies.
Right.
So L'chaira, isn't that a direct stira to the din of my chazis, right? My chazis says, I don't make a choice. Here I vada make a choice. I'm going to save one person. So the chazanish says, you have to be mechalek between what is called a pu'ula of hasala and a pu'ula of resicha. Now, this is very strange. You know, you may have remembered a book, a novel, a movie, Sophie's Choice. It's based on a novel, but this involved the German Nazi and a woman had two children, and the German was playing, actually it happened, the story's not important, it happened to be a non-Jewish woman, but who had harbored Jews, had protected Jews. So the Nazi in sport, she had two children. And the Nazi said, give me one, Mamash, give me one or I'll kill them. So the Chayra, in a case like that, if she's told to choose who she's delivering for Misa, it's Mamish, Mamish, the case, give us somebody or we'll kill both. The halacha is you have to let both of them die. Right? That's the halacha.
There's no new.
You can't choose.
You can't make a choice.
Right. Now, what if, instead of the Nazi saying, it turns on the Lushan, instead of the Nazi saying, give me the one to kill, the Nazi says, take the one that you want to save. Is it shaykh? There would be a chiluk there? Is it shaykh that we would say, since that's a pu'ulas hasola and not a pu'ulas resicha, that's like giving the medicine, that's like giving the water? It might be, but to me it's very, very mudna. Maybe it's, it's very mudna that this should turn on the lashon that the Nazi used. If he says, give me the one to die, that's my chazus. If it says, take the one you want to save, that's hatzalah. Now, this was also Magad the Shiloh by work purpose. This is Ramesh the Shiloh. Again, these unfortunately, these were not theoretical Shilohs. These were Ramesh halacha l'maisa dika Shilohs. You know, the Nazis, part of their cheshbon, when they set up Jewish governments in the ghettos, they wanted the Jews to be self-governing in the ghettos, and the reason is they wanted to break their spirit by forcing Yidden to decide who would live and who would die, and that way the Yid would become a collaborator with the Nazis themselves. And it was a constant idea of everything was tnulan, give us the people for the camps or we'll kill everybody. So once again, if the Nazis would say, give us a list of 1,000 people going to Auschwitz or we'll kill the whole town, we wouldn't be allowed to do that. But they often did it another way. They had work permits, meaning to say they had factories, and people who worked in factories for the war effort sometimes had good conditions, at least for a while. They had food because they needed them to work to produce ammunition, to produce things for the war.
Why did I let them do that? I'm sorry.
What?
Why did I let them make...
Why did they want Jews to do it?
No,
why it was cheap labor. They didn't... Huh?
Why is the Jew allowed to make weapons for the German army?
Well, that's because it's a gramercy. Okay,
okay.
I mean, apparently, it's a good horror, but apparently, the idea that those weapons might be used for killing—that's not called shvichas dam. That's a gram of a gram of a gram.
They would have hired someone else.
They would have hired someone else to do it anyway. That's a good question. That's a good question. But Lamai said Jews were working in these factories, and now even Talmidei Chachamim worked in the factories. So here's the, so let's say the Germans give the ghetto authorities, let's say you have a ghetto, like a Lodz ghetto had 100,000 Jews in it, and the Nazis were deporting people to concentration camps, but they come up with 20,000 work permits, and they go to the ghetto authorities and they say, you give out these 20,000 work permits and everybody else is getting deported to Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And we actually have situations like this. They're actually, we actually have video of crowds of Jews, just it's heart-rending. they're like screaming and yelling and trying to get these work permits out, et cetera. So the question would be, if you're a religious person, I'm talking about this theoretically, these were really my assumptions, yeah. What should your response be? Should your response be to the Nazis, I'm not going to decide who's going to live and who's going to die. I'm not going to be your shutter. So they say they went and asked in Kovno. Kovno was a big city in Lithuania. The last Rebbe of Kovno was a great, great gadol, Rebbe Ram Shapiro. I don't know if you've ever seen the Sefer, Dvar Avram, huh? Dvar Avram. He's my Rosh Hashivah's.
Yeah.
Slobodka was a suburb of Kovno. The truth is, the altar didn't like people to hang around. The Mitzvayanim of Slobodka used to hang around at Dvar Avram a lot because he was a great Pesach. But Kovno was a more modern city a little bit. And the Dvar Avram was very makel because he had many Jews in Kovno who were not religious. And he was a Rav, he wasn't a Rosh Hashivah. And the altar of Slobodka didn't like the guys from the yeshiva to hang around the Dvar Avram because he thought he was a little too makel. But he was a great, Pesach, and he told the Alter, he says, you know, I'm a Rav of a whole city. My city is not a city, everybody's B'nai Torah. But whatever it is, but he was the last Rav of Kovno, and the Kovno ghetto had to determine, whether that's where Rav Chanan was shot, Rav Chanan was killed in the Kovno ghetto. And they asked the Dvar Avram, are we allowed to give out these permits? And the Dvar Avram fainted. And then when they revived him, they asked the Shaila again, and he fainted again. He fainted like five times. But eventually, he paskins, yes, because this is a pool of Hatzalah. We have Mayim. If you have 10,000 people who are starving, and I have enough water for 5,000, I don't say I can't make a choice. I say who I can say. So this gets you into real, real difficult shilas. That is, when do I don something as a hatsola in which I make a choice? And when do I don it like a pulas ritzicha where I don't make a choice? But Avada, you're mukhrich to say there's such a chilek. That's what the chazanish says.
This is
such a fascinating subject. It's fascinating.
Thank you very much.
So many practical shilas. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great night.
You too.